Hey there, I'm Susan.
And I'm Jessica. Welcome to the Eavesdrop on Us podcast, where we have real conversations about what it's like to be in business these days. Pull up a chair and welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Eavesdrop on Us podcast. I'm your host, Jessica.
And I'm Susan.
And Susan, I just saw earlier you shared the most adorable, delightful picture of your puppy, Mia. And so you did something really cool this weekend. What'd you do?
I had the most fun finding a world famous in our little quiet little state of New Hampshire. A world famous, did I say world famous? Dog trainer for German Shepherds right here. And my husband and I, your dad, had a blast driving out to visit the property, which was stunning, state of the art. And we signed ourselves up for some lessons to learn how to tame this crazy beast.
Well, you know what's so funny is because I have a German Shepherd. So my German Shepherd is 2.5. She'll be 3 in October. So she's gone through training. I'm so conditioned to her knowing what certain words mean that when I go over to your house and I talk to Mia, I'm like, oh, she doesn't know that yet. She hasn't been trained.
Now, and you know, fascinating, without having to go down the road, she really was quite ill. She caught kennel cough, then it went into acrid, and then recovering from that. So we had to keep her calm. And people, you have no idea, trying to keep a German Shepherd puppy of 6 and 7 months calm and collect. That I think I deserve a medal for that. They give medals all the time to these.
No, I think you do too. I forgot how energetic they are as puppies because I was so used to Sasha, who when we got Rhea, Sasha was about 10, nine or 10 at the time. And so she was just so mellow. And I mean, I'm going to use all the superlatives, just perfect and beautiful and angelic. And she was so well behaved. And then we got Rhea and I was like, I forgot how crazy Shepherd puppies are.
They're insane. They're absolute ball of energy until about 2 years, and you're going to start seeing Rhea chill out a little bit more and more as you go along and just fill out a little bit more and more as you go. I've got a little ways to go. Mia is now 8 months and she is precocious and fresh and sweet and just everything you hope for a sweet, very centered on German Shepherd puppy. And she's a complete joy to us. There are times where not so much a complete joy, but for the most part.
But you know what's fun about the training is, so we took Rhea to training 2 years ago now. She just did some basic obedience, like recall, things like that. And it's always, you know, I don't have children. And so I was always thinking of her as my child. Because I was like, Is she good? What is she good at? What do you see as potential for her? Right. Because I'm like, I don't know how to interpret what she's doing. Like, I don't know what any of this means. And so did you have any of that too with Mia?
Dad did. Yeah. And mainly because, fascinatingly enough, you and I brought up Sasha and trained Sasha, our first,
the queen.
I was hesitating to say it, but she is the queen. She was the first, and the first, as we would say, also the OG, the original. Mm-hmm. And she really set a high bar. She was just one of those. We happened on an exceptionally beautiful, well-balanced German Shepherd, terrific home dog. And, you know, when we went there, Dad did not have the benefit of being around as he is for Mia. So he was asking those questions. I had the benefit of Sasha. So I didn't ask as many of those. But I promise you, if I was in the same position, you bet I would have been asking. Absolutely. Did she make the mark? Is she good? Is she really as super awesome as I think she is? So I'm waiting for that, you know, feedback. But Dad was the one that asked the question, but I wanted to know too, but he was the one that asked.
Yeah. Us Americans and our dogs, I'm telling you, I love them. I am obsessed with them. I was speaking last week and I said, if it was financially possible and socially acceptable, I would have so many more. Yeah. I know. I really would.
And I'm actually interested in learning more about her, right? Because there's a continuum with German Shepherds. There are five breeds within the German Shepherd breed, right? Mm. So five sectors, I'm not the big dog person, but there are five, you know, disciplines or breeds within the German Shepherd family. She is within the working dog family. So the question is, you know, do we need to give her a job? Because they're really sharp, smart, inquisitive, and quite frankly, if they're not kept busy.
Oh, they'll find a way to keep busy.
Oh, they will. And it's usually very expensive. You have a hole in the wall, or, you know, your furniture or your rug is off. So rather than going down that lane, and Dad and I are really interested in when we go there, is she a working dog? And if she is, what kind of discipline? Will it be search and rescue, scent, or guarding? And I'm hoping for the first two as opposed to the guarding. You know, sure, I think that's in DNA for a German Shepherd. They're very protective of their loved ones and their family. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be really fun and interesting to go down that lane of, okay, maybe she could be on search and rescue. Maybe, because we have a lot of trails here in New Hampshire. So if she can add, you know, some beautiful way of contributing to the community, wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be fun. And yeah, definitely in our wheelhouse of service to the community. So lots of good stuff around the corner with her and her training.
Oh, and I just think she's so Sasha, we were talking about Sasha was so ladylike. She was a bit more serious. Whereas R2, I'm like, these two are not related, but my God, they are so silly. They're just goofy. Yeah.
Goofy is the best way to put it. Mia is very, very sweet in nature. Whereas Sasha was very somber, not sad, but cerebral. She was always thinking, like, okay, what does this mean? Where do I go? What do I do? I wouldn't say anxious, almost.
Yeah.
And Reyes just silly.
Reyes just silly. But you know what's funny is I think this is, I don't know why people do this in general with, it seems to be with shepherds. Anywhere I take Raya in public, you know, if I go for a walk downtown or we're just, you know, at a park, people just assume that Ray is a boy. Like, wow, what a handsome boy. Or he's so beautiful. Look at his beautiful fur. Like, it's just this commentary of the assumption that Ray is a boy. And I got it with Sasha too when I would take Sasha out. Like, wow, what a big boy. Because Sasha was just huge. But I don't know if it's because people think German Shepherds are masculine dogs.
Yes.
So they must all be boys. I don't know.
Male ladybug.
What do you mean?
It's a ladybug.
Oh, yeah. There can be male ladybugs. Yeah. I don't know. People just always default to
oxymoronic status. You know, it's like,
yeah,
be, you know, assertive or aggressive is a male trait, and it isn't. It's just a human trait or a state of being. Same thing for German Shepherds. And all German Shepherds, by the way, are not aggressive. You know, this particular breed that we have from the breeder, they're bred to be family dogs. So no, they're not as fun and family dog-ish as a Goldie or a Golden Retriever or Labrador. Nope.
No, in fact, we just turned the corner with Raya. So when she hit two, now she enjoys cuddling more, but it's always on her terms. She's like, I'm not interested.
See, Mia is much more inclined to cuddle. That's why I always say she's sweet.
Yeah.
She's very, she's not, although she has ears the size of a satellite dish.
Dad summed it up right though. I think it's her feet. She's got these like her toes, her body is too, like certain parts of her body are way too big. So her feet, like her toes spread out when she walks. And so my dad was like, oh, she has chicken feet. Now I can't unsee it. Now I can't unsee it.
I think it's just because she's just in a teenager age, right?
Oh, yeah. She's a baby. It's just funny. They look so goofy.
They do look goofy. And that's enjoyment. And I think, you know, there's a deeper appreciation of how every day is so incredibly precious and important spent with this particular breed, because they don't go on forever and ever like our smaller counterparts. So we have them for about 12, 13 years, and every moment counts. So we savor it, love on them, and we know we're on a special journey with them. So it's,
and I'd have a whole flock of heartbreaking German Shepherds if I could. That would be my wish.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we had
a sometimes problem? I'm convinced
be amazing
that I became an entrepreneur. Yes, to be able to, like, I would love to, you know, get a cool car or live in a big house, you know, all the traditional things that people are like, I would love to just have the money to do these things. But I'm like, I want to figure out a way to have more animals.
Yeah.
So how is that going to work? Right. That's why I'm convinced, you know, that every time I see a listing on the animal shelter, you know, for these beautiful babies, I'm like, how can I make this work?
Well, and you know, I'm all in with a donation to them. I love
it. Well, I'll take them home. You can donate. So Susan, let's get down to business. Let's talk business, shall we?
Yeah.
So you have been using a phrase recently that causes a bunch of head tilts. Sort of, actually, I don't think we planned it, but the concept of, like, nonprofits and organizations like animal shelters, we hear this word donating all the time, and you've been using it in a different context. You've been asking business owners, our clients, just business owners that we know, who are you donating to? Mm-hmm. And so I want to let you dive into, that's a new thing you've been saying. So what kind of prompted that phrase, that question? Dig in.
You know, in the first quarter of any given year, one of the main activities is to review. Who are we doing business with? Who aren't we doing business with? Whose services are we leveraging? Who aren't we leveraging? And in that sifting out, should you stay or should you go process with our clients, it dawned on me that really all you're doing is donating to these companies. You're not paying them to benefit from their services. You've donated to them with no benefit to you or the community or your employees or anything. There's no return on that investment other than you've helped out another business, which is okay, right? You know, I love small business, but I don't want our small businesses becoming accustomed to getting finance or revenue coming in without having to put an output for it. Right?
I'm curious for you why that was such a light bulb, because even the phrasing, donating, like, why was that such a light bulb moment for you?
Well, when you start letting the numbers tell you the story. So, you know, when you're getting up to $2,000-$3,000 a month in donated fees to, whether it's a, you know, a program or software, so we refer to it as SaaS, software as a solution, whether it's for this or that, whatever it may be, when you're up in the 2,000, 3,000, dare I say almost 4,000, okay, now we need to start, holy cow, it tells me a number of things. Number one, you're donating to companies without realizing it. Number two, you're not watching your books. You're not. Number three, you're not looking at your credit card invoices and your invoices as a whole. Four. Is there a rinse and repeat where you're working with your financial reporting team or your business advisor? Now, for everybody's benefit, none of our clients have that situation. So just so you know, not on my watch. It didn't happen. But when they first came in, it was there. And so now one of the things that we do is take a look at, okay, who are you donating to? And I use that as a provocateur, a provocation, if you will, to get them to slow down and think about what are you paying for and not getting. We go so quickly, we move so fast, we are one and done, and we don't look at the expense of that bad behavior model. Expensive one.
Why do you think that question phrased in that way grabs people's attention? Because it's effectively asking the same thing. It's like, well, okay, so where are you spending? What expenses do you have each month versus who are you donating to?
I want to change their paradigm. Rather than, I blew it. I shouldn't have signed up for this. I'm not about beating people up. I want them to reframe it in the sense of, wait a second, I cannot be donating to something like this. If you're going to throw that money to the wind, how about put it towards a donation of something worthy in alignment with what you do in your business? See? So it's a backdoor way of saying, all right, if we're going to throw money to the wind, let's throw it to something with intention. Or better yet, not. And put it in your pocket and put it there for a rainy day. Either way, have some engagement with it. Have some thought around it. Have some intention around it. So it's a cheeky way of me asking, can we have some conversation? Can we have some thought around where that simple little, and I'm talking usually under $100 per month.
But those things add up though.
That's where the Achilles heel is for a small business.
Yeah, it's like $100 for this software, $1,000 a month for this membership thing, you know, $200 for this. You know, even you think of like Canva, for example, it's like, well, now we have like the premium, so it's paying for that. And before you know it, it's the question of like, people are like, where's all my money going? Right? Probably to those. They add up so quickly.
And here's the thing too, and I've seen this with a lot of SaaS, so software as a service. So you reminded me of, you know, Canva.
Yeah.
There are also other software products out there. And here's the new strategy. You need to provide me 30-day notice. So if it just came up on your radar and you tried to cancel today because you already got charged and you're following up on, geez, why am I still paying you? Well, guess what? So sad, too bad. They're going to walk away with that fee. They won't next month, but they will that month. So see how insidious it is. So you're locked in. So, and I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to stabilize their cash flow and their market share. I get it. But from a consumer client perspective, I think it's horrible because, you know, in this instance, and that also gives away, they expect you to buy in and forget. There's an expectation of this.
And it's like the Planet Fitness model.
Ugh.
Well, you buy
Planet Fitness right now. But yes, any gym model where, you know what, it's my guilt fee. I've heard this. And I was just like, wait a second. I'm sorry, what? And the client shared with me, they paid for a full up luxury gym here in town by the airport. Without naming anybody, they joined it and it's their guilt fee.
What does that mean, guilt fee?
You ready? This was their phrase. Because I'm overweight and I'm not in shape. So I bought a membership thinking I would go there at least once or twice, but I haven't. And you know what? It's my penance. And I'm
my gosh, that's so unnecessary.
Wait a minute. You can do that with your personal finance, but you cannot do that with your business finance.
Yeah. And so I think it's also, I think, a fun, you've had so much fun since January. I get all these updates in Slack where you're like, just saved us this, just cut that. And it's like, oh yeah, we haven't touched that. We haven't used that. We thought we bought it because we needed it at one point last year, but we're not doing that anymore. Yeah. It has been, I think what people could interpret as a, oh my gosh, I'm going to be embarrassed and mortified with how much I was just spending, has actually turned out to be fun where it's like, ooh, we saved this and ooh, we saved that. And so starting in like March or April, like this is what we're going to be saving. So now it's much more positive than I think
it is.
And I haven't gone into the space of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't use that. And I can't believe we spent that. You know, well, there's not much you can do. It is what it is.
But to that point, you know, one of the motivations was because I often say our services are essential, but we're invisible. But that doesn't mean we don't bring value. That doesn't mean that we don't earn our place at our client's table. Quite the contrary, we do. But it's not about us. It's 100% about them. Helping them through, making them look awesome, making them and their experience amazing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about us. It's not about our signature program, our signature service, or yada, da, da, da. It's 100% all about the client and them reaching their potential and achieving it and so on and so forth, and celebrating that. So that's how we become essential, is because we are, in fact, in a place of service and support.
So help me connect me to where we were in terms of donating.
Yeah. Okay. So as you're looking through your list, I would imagine a listener going, well, where the heck do I start with this? Well, go and look in the past 30 days and simply ask yourself, who has, in fact, served? Who has earned their keep? I'm paying X. Am I getting X or Y and Z with it? Now, see, there's extra there, right? So it's important to be able to have a rubric, for lack of a better phrase, as to, okay, I'll keep Acme Incorporated around because they, in fact, do help us when we need it. Or Acme does deliver terrific service on call. It may not be a consistent, but when I need it, it's there and it's quality.
You know what I like about this conversation is it's less of a chopping block, like I'm just going to like cut, and more of a, I'm going to use these guiding questions of who's earning their keep, who is contributing, who's helping me get to X results or X desired outcome.
Yeah.
And using that to guide as opposed to just like across the board cutting everything.
Yeah, because everybody's getting, you know, increased invoices mm-hmm. for services. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, are they earning their keep? And I'll get even more granular with you. We have a membership with Society of Human Resource Managers Association, SHRM. Now, we're not HR professionals. We're not. But they have exceptional resources that can help me look over the treetops in my job and responsibility of looking out for our clients' interests and supporting them should an HR issue come around. Now, do I tap into it weekly, daily? No. But when I do need it, it's there. And I have full access to it. And that's what I want, because it is often a just-in-time resource I need.
It's yeah.
Keep. So I keep that. Now, I have a rubric. Is it earning its keep? Yes. Is it a good value? Heck yes. Is it something that really adds value to not only us, but our clients? Yes, yes, and yes. Okay, you stay.
Yeah. And I think that also clarifies, we're not just talking about the softwares that we buy, the memberships, those are part of it, right? But then it kind of expands beyond that. It's memberships in terms of associations that you're part of. It's also higher level service providers that you're working with. And so I think it ends up creating a very powerful moment for a business owner to really look at, you know, because a lot of people are in, I'm looking to trim, I'm looking to maximize, I'm looking to lean things out.
Stick with that term maximize. So
yeah.
An awareness that came about doing this with one of our clients around a chamber membership. And they, like us, huge Chamber of Commerce supporters and member, but they weren't leveraging the full opportunity and value. So that gave them awareness of where they could just modify their behavior just a smidge, Now look at what they're getting. They get an awesome opportunity. Same thing with one of our BNI members, one of our clients. This person recognized, wait a second, my profile isn't leveraged like it should be. Well, that was incredibly short-sighted for her, because we ended up going in and taking a look at it of, wait a second, this is an aggregator. They're pushing SEO out. So this is giving you SEO ranking in your area that you paid for with your dues. So not only do you pay a marketer to manage your SEO, but this association is giving you SEO opportunities and driving them to you directly. Okay, we should do this, right? So it's, how do you capitalize on the investment made? How do they earn their true keep?
Well, and I think also another question we've also explored too is, it's like to stay on theme, it's the going through your closet and looking at a shirt and being like, okay, I haven't worn this, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll stick on, I'll stick with it. And then like a year later, you're like, I still haven't worn it. So I think you can even be honest with yourself, like, okay,
yeah,
am I really going to use this? Yeah, like there is potential, but is that a priority? Is that actually going to happen? I think it's just being realistic with yourself.
Are we going to Marie Kondo your numbers in business? Perhaps. But I do love that paradigm in the sense of looking at your numbers and asking, well, wait a second, did we really cry in our milk over that $100 per month being spent? No, but did we get anything from it? Not at all. Okay, donate it. Could it go to a chamber? Could it go to...
Oh, like you take it and realign it, reallocate it into something else.
100%. Is it in alignment with your vision and mission? So, to that point, if you're a real big animal advocate, wink, wink, could you take that $100 and just shift it over there, help this true nonprofit out? Okay, now that's cool. Right?
Well, I think a lot of business owners desire to, they went into business to have the freedom and live life on their own terms, but I think they're also into building a legacy and contributing and being part of something. And I think that many feel like, well,
great moment.
I don't have anything. I can't right now. I don't have anything to give. And I think this, it's almost like you don't have to go out and create anything. It's just reallocating, canceling, and removing.
And it really does bring back joy. And that's such a phenomenal, crazy, not expected outcome.
Yeah.
It feels good. And when you start looking at the numbers and going, geez, no kidding. I had no appreciation for that. And then it's like, okay, do you want to donate that money or do you want that to go back into building a rainy day fund? Or is that also going to take on, if a service increased their rate, could we take that and put it towards that rate increase you just got a notice on? So now it's not a big deal.
There you go. So Susan, I love how simple this exercise is, because it doesn't require anything more than sitting down and opening up all the different subscriptions and not beating yourself up, but seeing amazing opportunity to be able to invest in something that you haven't been able to because it's been allotted to other things, or to donate to a cause that you've been wanting to donate to, but you haven't felt like you've had the ability to, or just simply to save more and have more in your bank account. And they don't have to go out and do anything different. It's just, what have you been spending your money on? So Susan, I think the first step is just do an audit, right? And I think they'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, my guidance would be, again, to sit down with your advisor and or bookkeeper and take a look at who is on the automated payments. Then your second step would be, okay, let's take a look at who we are paying and do we use their services? So, because we all sign up for this or that, and so this the low-hanging fruit, but I'm more interested on the second tier. That individual or business that you signed up for, and quite frankly, your interest has changed. Mm-hmm. But we didn't follow through on letting them know that things have changed. So sit down with your bookkeeper, sit down with your business advisor, and just have an opportunity to, you know, go through that closet.
Love it. Well, thanks as always for such a great conversation, Susan. I'll see you next time.
I look forward to it. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, remember to hit subscribe. And to stay updated, head over to iwantacollaborate.com. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Susan.
See you next time.